Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bill Sardi, our good friend, and we're going to be talking about longevity. How do you make people live longer? And of course, you know, if you go back and you read the scriptures, why, you find out that the original people, Adam and certainly his immediate descendants, lived already for hundreds, thousands of years. Methuselah lived, 900 years? I remember song about that many, many years ago. So many of our forebears certainly lived much longer lives than we do today. What is the difference? Well, there's a great deal that we never talk about today about longevity. So with that as background, Bill, let's go ahead.
I don't know if everybody wants to turn the dial just on the topic after I'm writing a little e-book about this, how the world got lost on the road to the anti-aging pill. So I don't know that that's on anybody's radar screen, that they think anything such as an anti-aging pill is even possible. It's not even a desire. And I think Ponce de Leon was after the fountain of youth, and that's a little bit different because he wanted to dip into the water and come out young again, not necessarily live long, just look younger, which is quite a big difference. We'll be talking about it tonight. But my question for your audience is, if there was such a thing as an anti-aging pill, would you take it? Secondly, if I showed you a picture of a man on his 100th birthday, and he was blowing out the candles, all 100 of them, on his 100th birthday, on his birthday cake, what would be the first thing you would say looking at that picture? I'll tell you what most people, how they respond to that picture. And the third thing is, just exactly what things can you do to live a little bit longer and healthier? What comes to your mind? Exercise, taking vitamin supplements, lowering your cholesterol, which things? I'm going to go through those, a little list, trying to help people sort out just exactly which things would really significantly help you live a little bit longer and healthier. And of course, you'd be surprised at that list, because there's a couple of them on there that we commonly practice and are almost ineffective at prolonging life whatsoever. The question for you is, would you take an anti-aging pill if it was available? A survey done by AARP magazine a few years back showed that 9 out of 10 senior Americans said no, they wouldn't take it. They were really highly concerned that they would be living a longer life, but not a better life. That the quality of life, if you didn't offer them that with it, they didn't want it. They didn't want to spend more years in a wheelchair and debilitation. All this makes sense. We're going to explain how they got confused on that issue. And to answer that question about the man blowing out the 100 candles on his birthday cake, I haven't had a person look at that picture and tell me, I don't want to ever live that long. And that's the response from 100% of the people that I show that picture to.
Well, it sort of depends on what shape that gentleman's in, you know, at 100 years of age. A gentleman just purchased Newsweek magazine. He's a multi-billionaire. He's 91 years of age. And he said, you know, I've got a lot of ideas about what we could do to make Newsweek better. 91 years of age. I mean, he looks very viable. He's got a very good-looking young wife. And, well, at 91, looks like he's living pretty well. We'll be right back. Well, Bill, you go right ahead with the story.
Well, certainly aging our ideas about it changed. My research showed that in the 1960s and 1970s, we were just beginning to see that curve of longevity of our life expectancy in America really go up significantly. And we were beginning to see our grandparents live into their 70s, and we began living later into our 80s and 90s as we saw people like Bob Hope and so on live into their 90s. And as we saw this, we saw something else and what modern medicine did, and that was to create the drugs and circuses that we now see. People living in chronic disease the last 10 or 15 years of their life, overdrugged, and that's what brought about that response, I don't want to ever live that long. It changed. We changed. Americans changed. Had we offered anybody an anti-aging pill in 1940 or anything like it, they would have grasped for it. They would have sought it and probably swallowed such a thing without question. But as time went on, we had the longevity and we saw it, and we thought what we saw was not so good. Now, you know, it's interesting because seniors in this AARP poll, they said, well, they wouldn't take an anti-aging pill because they wanted the quality of life along with the quantity of life. They didn't want to, they were afraid they're going to run out of the retirement money. Fair enough. And they inexplicably thought they would be contributing to the overpopulation of the planet, which was an interesting concept. I often tell people that say that to me, I say, well, maybe we ought to help you jump off the cliff now because, you know, no sense you contributing to the problem today. So it's a little bit nonsensical, but nonetheless, it's prevalent and it's there. And I thought I'd never say this, but I think a lot of you know about a little movie called Soylent Green. And in Soylent Green, they try to, well, take that moment of what Soylent Green really is and hide it so that you can watch the movie and see what it is. And there is some starvation on the planet, shortage of food. This is at some time in the future. And as old people die, they go down to the, get ready for death, they go down to the Soylent Green factory. And they're processed through that factory. And they come out as Soylent Green, the name of a food that people are ground up into to handle the shortage of food on the planet.
Well, hold that thought, Bill. We'll be right back here in just a moment. And Dr. Stan and Bill is simply talking about the idea that a lot of people today really are not interested in living longer. They should be, but they're not for many reasons. They're afraid they'll run out of money. They don't want to be living on when they're debilitated. And yet, of course, he was talking about this movie, Soylent Green, and certainly in this theoretical description of what the future is, why, of course, you had your older people simply be ground up and used as food, this Soylent Green, in this wonderful new world of the future. Is this where we're headed? Well, you go right ahead, Bill.
Well, oddly enough, when we say, I wouldn't ever want to live that long, we don't understand that there's a contradiction there. We would see the movie Soylent Green and kind of react in a negative way, and yet aren't we signing up? Aren't we getting in line for the Soylent Green factory? Aren't we seeing our loved ones do that intentionally? They don't want to live so long. I mean, I never thought I'd say this. Let's look back at the 1960s and 70s. And it was a wonderful time in so many ways. It was a naive time in so many ways. And Americans went for an anti-aging pill, you might say, at the time. It was really a liquid elixir. It was called Geritol. And the criteria for deciding to take Geritol was that it was shown on the game show called 21 and the $64,000 question, the Lawrence Welk show. And Geritol was widely advertised. And what exactly was Geritol? Well, Geritol was an array of B vitamins with a whopper dose of iron, 50 to 100 milligrams, and 12% alcohol. It had a real swig of alcohol. That's six times more than wine. They were getting old people sloshed, and they were over-ionizing, called iron overload. That's what happens later in life. You certainly want to, wouldn't going to give seniors a heavy dose of iron, and that's exactly what they did. And this, might you might say, anti-aging remedy of its day was actually leading people to their premature demise, an early date with their maker. And, of course, this, in a way, sounds like the Soylent Green factory again. And you've talked for many times here on the air about all the covert population control things that seem to have been put into place. We know the cholesterol theory is a ruse, and that arterial disease is really caused by calcium and not cholesterol. But if they get all of us on low-fat diets to lower our cholesterol, we'll become infertile and we'll not be virile. And we know this. And they put, of course, the water, they fluoridated, and one of the first things they tested fluoride for was whether you'd still be able to father children and have babies. And, of course, it does interfere with the sperm in men and so on. So it seemed like all these kind of things seem to be kind of covert ways of controlling the population. Some of them not so covert. They're in our own head. We have a lot of false ideas about this. But we're actually unwittingly going on along with some of these plans made by the elites of the world that we should die on time. And it would be good for whom? Well, we'll explain that in just a minute. But certainly, when I tell you that there has been an anti-aging pill come to the public's attention in the last 5 or 6 years, it's a red wine pill. There is a molecule in red wine that they believe might really be an anti-aging pill. For the first time, they think, especially if that red wine molecule is combined with other similar molecules, the question is this. Why did millions of Americans buy Geritol, which led to their early demise, and this red wine pill? Well, it's kind of off to a slow start. I mean, after 6 years, I can tell you that there's less than a million Americans who jumped even to try the idea, let alone take it every day. And on the first year that Viagra was sold, there was $1 billion of sales. And there's less than $30 million of these red wine resveratrol pills, that's the name of the molecule in red wine, that are being sold today. So the question is, what's the difference? Well, this, I know a lot of people feel like they don't want to fall for the next, anti-aging elixir, the next false cure, and so on. But this one wasn't on late-night infomercials. It was on the front page of Scientific American. It was in Nature magazine. It was in Science magazine. It was widely heralded on the front page of the New York Times. And America was curious, and they watched. They didn't buy it. And it's been amazing that actually this whole story goes on into the year 2009. The story about a red wine anti-aging pill gets on the Oprah Winfrey Show and on the 60 Minutes Sunday Night Show. And still no overwhelming public interest until outlaw companies, spammers, got online, used the news clips of the Oprah Show and the 60 Minute Show, and claimed their product was shown on television. All of that was false. Claimed their product was tested at Harvard and other universities, Mayo Clinic. All that was false. Claimed their product was proven to cure Alzheimer's, weight loss, diabetes, cancer, wrinkles, and the people fell for it in millions of dollars. They all got bilked because at the end there was the offer you couldn't refuse, a free bottle. And online marketers that were offshore were making these phony offers, hooking people, grabbing their credit card numbers, starting to bill them $80 every month. And they didn't realize they were put on an auto ship program. And there was no recourse. You couldn't even get a hold of the company. One of them was on the island of Cyprus. One of them is hidden away in remote part of Canada, outside the reach of the attorneys general in your state, the Federal Trade Commission, the FDA, and this Google allowed this whole thing to go on, but Americans fell for it hook, line, and sinker off the free offer. It was amazing. Still then, with all of this said, Americans still haven't gone for this anti-aging pill idea in any remarkable way at all. They're still questioning. And in a survey a number of years ago, MIT asked people, what would you think the greatest technological development that you would like? Would you like a driverless car, an automated home, biodegradable plastic, those kinds of things? Anti-aging pill was on that list. The first thing Americans picked, by far, biodegradable plastics. And the anti-aging pill was number three or four on the list. And I think at that time, people didn't even realize that would be a possibility. I don't think they really went through very much. But it's interesting that the RAND Corporation, a think tank for the United States government, actually a few years ago added an anti-aging pill to a future Medicare budget, about a dollar a day. And it's actually scheduled. We don't know or foresee any introduction of this in medicine, because medicine is interesting in treating disease as it occurs, most of that age-related disease. And what we ended up doing unwittingly is going along with the population control artists and what they did. Had we had an anti-aging pill, and I'm going to spill the beans on this here tonight, they actually had the technology to make humans live 150 to 250 years. That technology was developed in the early 1970s, and it was in the area of genetic engineering. That technology was thrown under the bus. It was hidden. It was thrown back into the file cabinets, and it was decided that it wasn't, that America wasn't ready for this. And surprisingly enough, I bumped into this whole thing because the insurance actuaries of the day wrote a giant report. You can find it online, Genetic Engineering and Longevity, because somebody was whispering into their ear and telling them, we now have an understanding of how genes work. Not the Darwinian idea that you're born with the genes that your mother and father gave you. Not the fatalistic, there's nothing you can do. But something called epigenetics. The genes get switched on and off. And that very thing called epigenetics was discovered in the early 1970s. It was not disclosed to the public till the year 2005 in Scientific American magazine. They decided to wait for 35 years to tell the American public. The American public was left with the idea that if their parents lived long, they would too, and they were very proud they had longevity genes. There's no such thing. Folks, you and I have heard in our time, if you take a person born in Japan and you move them to Hawaii, they don't live as long. It's not, the genes are not locked. It's your diet, it's your environment, it's your sunlight, radiation, temperature. All these things switch your genes. Even stress switches your genes. It's real obvious that this all can be programmed and reprogrammed and changed, and it's called epigenetics. It's a wonderful future because you can use molecules that we find in the diet. They're small molecules that get into the genetic machinery of our cells, and they can switch those genes in a favorable way. All this was kept from view of the public in the early 1970s. The insurance industry found out that you would live long and figured out that would destroy the life insurance business. And they tabled the whole thing.
And I think it's so important that people understand that there are things that are deleterious, such as mercury will switch the fertility genes off. So not only you, but your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, unless something is done to reverse that, will have low fertility or perhaps no fertility at all. I wonder why we're suddenly vaccinating all those little black and brown children throughout the world. In fact, the people who are paying for it believe in population control. Why would they be doing that? Go right ahead, Bell. I think this is a fascinating, fascinating subject, especially this whole concept of epigenetics and the idea that you can switch genes on and off by what you do or by certain things that you consume. Go ahead.
Well, Time Magazine finally said it this year, but it took them a long time. And in the year 1970, Time Magazine, writing a report about the possibility of living super long. We're talking super longevity. We're not talking about adding a few years to your life. You'll be surprised when I tell you that, you know, if you control your cholesterol, you're going to add about 6 months to your life. That's all. If you exercise every day, a year and a half to your life, that isn't super longevity. If you stop smoking, those kind of things, it'll add about 10 years to your life. You don't. This is why governments didn't come down hard on smokers, because they died 10 years sooner and they didn't cost the government as much. But things you can do, a vegetarian diet adds 4 to 7 years to your life. Vitamin C, if you take 300 milligrams, adds about 6 years to males, said one study. If you're a female and not a male yet, about 5 to 8 years to your life. Women live longer. This is due to the fact that they control iron and calcium by menstruation and donating the minerals to their babies throughout life, and so they don't over-mineralize. But they found out that if you restricted the calories of humans by, well, cut it about in half, they would about double their lifespan. Now, this was an estimate from studies done in roundworms and fruit flies and finally in rodents and now even in primate monkeys, and they believe that you could add 30 more healthy years to your life if you restricted your calories, and then the epigenetic discovery that you could mimic this, that you could have your cake and eat it too, and that is you could find a molecular shortcut. What if you switch the same genes on that are switched on when you have a restricted calorie diet? You could still eat, but flip the same switches of a limited calorie diet. That's what the resveratrol red wine story was about. That's why the French look so lean. That's why the French have the most centenarians, the people living over the 100 per capita in the world, because they have a concentration of these molecules in their red wine, of course. The story gets to be intriguing because the life insurance industry had it whispered into their report, and they said they had no idea what the technology might be. But they did know, and gerontologists of the time, they did a big survey of the leading gerontologists, who said, this was in 1974, that by 1991, humans in America, Americans would be living 20 years longer to their life expectancy. They would add 2 decades. This means living into your 90s on a regular basis. It never happened. They only added 2 years. What happened? They knew about these genetic discoveries, and what the life insurance actuaries reported was something about a histone body. A histone body looks like a rope, and it wraps around a bundle of your DNA called chromatin. And if it wraps around tightly, it silences or switches your genes off. And if it's loose, it lets them. It's called gene expression. Turns them on, activates them, and they make proteins. Now, they knew about proteins being made from genes. They didn't know how it worked.
Hold that thought, Bill. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And today, Bill is talking about the fact that there were lots of things that could be done to prolong life, that this was well known back in the 70s. But, of course, the thing that would do more good than anything else was calorie restriction. Restrict your calories, you could almost double your lifetime, and it certainly add to it considerably. And then they found out they could do the same thing with certain proteins, certain polypeptides, the product that comes out of red wine. And basically, people who drank red wine lived much longer. And so then they found, of course, this was because it had the ability to turn genes on and off. And genes manufacture the proteins. And then they found that there were certain things that could be in the diet, or certain things an individual would have, where you'd actually have something wrap around the DNA spiral and turn the genes off so they weren't producing. But if you could get rid of that so the genes could begin producing proteins, and that's what genes do, why, of course, it could have a profound effect on health and longevity. So pick the story up there, Bill.
Well, these molecules have like a brain, and so they're able to switch off genes that cause cancer that allow viruses and bacteria to replicate, but turn on genes that help you live longer, and survival-type genes, adaptive genes, things that help you survive. So one of the things that red wine does, or the red resveratrol molecule does, is precondition your heart. Resveratrol is actually perceived by the body as a threat, and therefore it turns on all the body's defenses, and it turns them on in the heart. So if you're taking a resveratrol pill or drinking a good glass of dark French red wine, it preconditions your heart. It releases a chemical called adenosine. It releases an enzyme called heme oxygenase. These are alarm bell type molecules, and what they're saying is those are released when you have a heart attack. They're protective, and they're turned on before you have the heart attack. So should you have a heart attack, you'll have far less damage, and you won't die of a heart attack. That's the study in the laboratories. Those were all done at University of Connecticut in the last 3 or 4 years. This works far better than an aspirin tablet. Half the people on the day of their demise of a sudden death heart attack were taking aspirin. Aspirin isn't working. The baby aspirin is too low a dose. The dose that works, 165 milligrams, the baby aspirins are 81 milligrams. 165 milligrams will keep you from having, it'll thin the blood and block, make sure the heart doesn't have a blood clot in one of the four coronary arteries. But that's the dose that causes the gastric hemorrhages and the strokes in the brain and so on. So it's just substituting one disease for another. So what we have here is the world's first alternative. We think the French are having heart attacks, not suffering mortal consequences. And that's exactly what would happen. We spent $23,000 getting this story about resveratrol saving lives, people having heart attacks and not dying. We put it up on the news satellite, and not one news agency picked it up. So you've got to wonder why. Not one cardiology group expressed any interest in this story. And as it comes out, we're talking tonight about longevity and how we've been shortchanged. Certainly the Bible talks about us being shortchanged. After all, the patriarchs were living hundreds of years, 900 and so on. And so the Bible's all about longevity, even eternal life. And so Christians kind of see this in a mixed way, and believe maybe sometimes that we shouldn't be interfering with God's timing. Though it's okay if we smoke cigarettes or eat the wrong foods and take years off of our life, but Christians don't want to do anything to add any years to their life. So it's kind of a mixed confusion there, crossed wires among a lot of Christians about this. But the part that gets up your anger is that they knew all this in the early 1970s. Time magazine in 1970 publishes an article and says this longevity, this gene genetic engineering, this switching of the genes is going to make this possible for the first time, that man is not going to be plagued by death so immediately that he's going to prolong and put that off for a time in the future. But as they said, we have birth control, but we don't have what? Age control. You see, we had 1 million abortions going at that time. We had the birth control pill, and they weren't going to let us live longer and ruin it by adding more years to the end of our life. They buried this whole discovery and kept it from human view for 35 years. We're only discovering it now, and most people now are jaded and don't want it. The unbelievable realization that Americans are lining up for Soylent Green, and they're doing it willingly. It's an incredible story. People do not want to live long any longer. They're more afraid of longevity than they are of dying.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan Bell. You go right ahead.
Of course, I'm talking tonight about a book that I've been writing. We'll have it up and available for free online. How the World Got Lost on the Road to the Anti-Aging Pill. The thrill, the idea that Ponce de Leon sought for. And as I wrote in the first sentence of the book and explained all this, I said, one should have guessed that the pursuit of Ponce de Leon, that long sought after fountain of youth, would be a poison spring before the world would find it. And that's certainly true. We've experienced unusual longevity. We watched our grandparents and our parents get old to our horrors as we watch them become senile and lose their minds. We watched the drugs and circuses. We watched what modern medicine did to our parents. We watched them rob them of all their money and your inheritance. We watched all this, and we stood in horror, and then we said, what? We said, I never want to live that long. And that's exactly what they wanted us to say. We are signing up. We are getting in that line willingly for Soylent Green. We are dissuaded in a manner that we can't believe. We have been conned, and Americans today do not want to live that long. I understand it. Now, Ponce de Leon, he didn't really want to live long. He wanted to live younger. I can understand it. And that's the big thing today, is that Americans would spend more money on younger-looking facial features and cosmetic surgery and lotions and things for their hair and their skin. And think of all the money, contact lenses, everything to look younger, not necessarily live longer. And there's an answer for that from nature, too. We've talked about it here on the air a few times. God gave us a wonderful molecule of youth, and that molecule looks like Jell-O in our body. We have a lot of it when we're a young infant. Pregnant women have a lot of it. It's called hyaluronic acid, and it's got a funny name to it, but it looks like Jell-O in your body, and if it's under your skin and it's abundant, you'll have very smooth skin. Look at women. Estrogen says to make a lot of hyaluronic acid. So women have the thick hair, the smooth skin, the beauty that turns every man's head, and, of course, the flexible joints. You can get a woman on a mat, and a young woman can pull her legs right up over her head. So that wonderful molecule of flexibility.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back again. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Bell is talking about the hyaluronic acid, something that allows this gelatinous material that allows skin to be smooth, don't have the wrinkles, and certainly allows women to have tremendous elasticity. So if you've ever seen a woman contortionist, she's usually better than a man contortionist. But before we go on, Bill, do you have a website or any place that people could go to get the information? When will this ebook of yours on longevity be available?
We'll be putting the ebook out soon, and we'll be announcing it here. We'll give you an announcement for everybody, because we're going to post it in a couple of different websites, and so everybody will have a chance to read this for themselves.
Or we could even put it up on my website if you'd like to. We'd be glad to carry it for you.
Well, we're not ready to post it yet, because everybody go there. We're not ready. But I want to tell everyone how emphatically surprising this was for me to do the research on this book and find out that they literally had all the technology that they have today and more in the 1970s. It's all published in the medical literature. I was surprised to find it. They even had a small molecule that's similar to resveratrol. It's called butyrate. If you eat a high-fiber diet, through digestion and fermentation in your digestive tract, you make butyrate. That's one of the main advantages of a high-fiber diet. There's a little bit in butter. That little molecule gets into your genetic machinery. They tried it in you know, animals, low-level animals, and they found that they lived longer. They had an anti-aging pill at the time. Butyrate is often likened to this red wine molecule called resveratrol. It prolonged life. The point is, they had all this early in the 1970s. They never told anybody. Time magazine, their editors and writers knew all about this. They even admitted recently that why science knew this 35 years ago and didn't tell anybody. It was right in the January issue of Time magazine this year. Their article, which is DNA is Not Your Destiny, they were talking about how you can switch your genes, epigenetics, with diet or depriving yourself of food or various ways. All of these kinds of things, you could imprint the genes after a while, particularly if you were when you're during conception and development in your mother's womb. And how all these genes could be imprinted. This is what Dr. Stan is talking about. If they imprint those genes in your mother's womb so that you're diabetic, if they imprint them so that you won't live long, if they imprint them so that you won't be fertile, this is what they're doing. They're touching the very fingertips of God and creation by digging into the developmental period of our lives. And you see young babies coming out, and from day one, they're overweight and they're diabetic. We see childhood asthma. We see all of these things going on. We don't realize what they're doing. They're playing with the very strings of creation. And they know they're doing this. They know what epigenetics is. And so this is a very, very sinister agenda.
And really, of course, what you're really talking about is the vaccinations with the mercury and the aluminum, they insist on giving to pregnant women when they know it'll do the maximum damage to the child.
And you're catching kids and the children in this very early developmental phase, you see. So you have all these things, but oddly enough, the public is unwittingly going along with this whole agenda. And they don't realize it. I mean, you don't see the public jumping for anti-aging pills. On one side, they line up millions. We have 100 million people go get vaccines that are dangerous for you and your babies, and we don't have a million people who even reach for one of these anti-aging pills. It's a striking contrast in our modern society today. We do not realize how many crossed wires we have over this very idea. I used to sit and go to church camp, and I'd go up to Idyllwild, California, look at shooting stars at night, and the preachers would tell us, you know, that life is short and we needed to get our lives straight with God. Now, all that was fine, except that life is short part. I used to say, well, but why would God, why don't we dig into that? I'm sure God doesn't want us to live a short life. And so, you know, it just turned out that I bumped into these things later on in life. And I even wonder, because the insurance actuaries were making a decision. They were the elites. But so was the health insurance industry. And so was the medical research industry. They were making decisions for their own self-interest, for their own preservation, for their own greed. They weren't making decisions because the planet was going to be overpopulated. That's the cover. They were making decisions because the insurance actuaries figured out, look, if everybody lives a couple of hundred years, why, we can lower the premiums. But then they realized, wait a minute, if a guy's going to live 200 years, at age 30, is he going to be interested in signing up for life insurance? And then they said, by the time he's interested in buying life insurance, would we be even interested in selling it to him? And they realized they would be put out of business. And the medical researchers, most disease is chronic age-related disease. If you back up aging and the onset of aging and you cause real longevity, they're out of business. And what about the health insurance people? And everybody down the line saw it was bad for business, and they buried this thing, including the journalists who went along with this whole thing and hid this from the public. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting when we study all this. It it sounds a little extraneous, but way back when Bill Clinton was president, he ran a campaign against smoking. And he didn't do that for any health reason. He did it because the tobacco industry was funding the Republican Party, and he wanted to go after the source of their funds. And a lot of attorneys donated money to his campaign. They had an agenda before he got elected, and they went after the tobacco companies. Those attorneys made hundreds of millions of dollars, took it away from the tobacco companies. And if you remember that infamous ad, that anti-smoking ad, with all the executives of the tobacco companies right before Congress swearing in, and underneath the ad it said they were swearing in that they didn't know of any link between their products and lung cancer, when in fact they found all those mails and emails and documents showing that they knew it all along. That ad caused more smokers to throw cigarettes down and give them up for the rest of their life. I don't understand it. They must have seen when they were in junior high those pictures of those black, soot-filled, tar-filled lungs of smokers. And yet they were smokers until they felt conned, until they felt somebody lied to them. Now, I don't understand the thinking, but it certainly got a lot of people angry, and smokers backed away. That was the most effective anti-smoking ad of all time. In fact, they buried it because it was too good in getting people to quit smoking. But I wonder if people hearing tonight for the first time, we'll have all the references up online so you can check it yourself, that an anti-aging pill, something that would allow you and your parents and their grandparents to enjoy more years of wonderful life without suffering, without all these drugs. Did you know that Medicare is $60 trillion short on all of its to meet its obligations for the future? Had we put an anti-aging pill into action in the 1970s and delayed aging by 7 years, the onset of age-related diseases coming 7 years later, we would have escaped most nursing home admissions. We would have saved Medicare from bankruptcy. What we're left with is the drugs and circuses that these elites decided for the rest of the world. And you, your grandparents, your parents have lived in misery and lived and become the products of modern medicine. Aging is a drug deficiency, and they've overdrugged every one of your family members. And we've fallen for it. We don't want it now. We don't want to live this long. We don't want to live in debilitation. Alzheimer's is coming. We fear dementia. I don't want to live that long. And unwittingly, we're signing up for that, to get in line for that Soylent Green factory. It's difficult to believe that Americans have so many hang-ups on living long. And even if there was, this anti-aging pill was absolutely proven, we found out that most senior Americans would want to consult with their doctors who know nothing about this, who have a vested interest in treating disease, not making you live longer, and taking care of aging, who get paid more money every time they prescribe a drug. These same people would consult with their doctor to see if this is okay. They want to do that. They want to make sure whatever this anti-aging pill is wouldn't interfere with their drugs, and the last part of it, that somebody else pays for it. Because the surveys show that most seniors say, if it doesn't cost me anything, I'll take it. And so, interestingly enough, most people don't want longevity. They want thick hair, smooth skin, and Viagra. Even Christian people would prefer youthfulness over longevity. And, of course, we're very proud. We may have relatives that have lived very long. We brag that, you know, you have longevity genes in your family. But all of that's untrue. All that is this false Darwinian model of genetics. Epigenetics is the rule of the day. Your genes can be switched. And so this is an absolute truth. A lot of people saying, well, I'm too old to benefit. Give those pills to somebody younger than me. And yet that isn't true. We have case after case after case. The woman who comes to mind, 85 years old in Vista, California, housebound, bedbound for 5 years, found one of these anti-aging pills, is out walking around now, doing chores around the house. She hadn't gotten more than 5 feet out of bed to go to the bathroom and back once a day in 5 years. She's reading a book a day. She's using eyeglasses that she used 7 years prior. That means her vision improved biologically by about 7 years. All of this occurred to her in about a 5 week period of time. She was in such pain. She's now walking around just like a younger person. These kinds of things are going on every day, and yet people have no idea. You want to look long. You'd rather do that than live long. A lot of people, this is over their head. I hear you talking on the radio, Bill. I'm going to pass this by my doctor. I think that's probably an unproductive direction. Some people hear me say the word wine, and they'd rather drink wine. 3 to 5 glasses a day, you'd be inebriated. It'll cost you about $3 to $5 a day. That isn't a productive pathway to go on. You wouldn't want to outlive your retirement money. I think that's a practical concern. I accept it. That we're chasing snake oil here. We're going to buy it, chasing longevity. It's a rainbow we'll never catch. I don't know. I can tell you this, that I know a lot of people who ventured to try such a pill, and it made a dramatic difference in their life. There's a lady in Atlanta, Opaline Bryce. As she tells her story, she started having heart attacks at age 31. By late in life, in her 70s, one night she could only crawl on the floor. She had terrible angina, chest pain, to the kitchen from her bedroom to get a glass of water. And she phoned a friend to say to pray for her. And when she got back into her room, still crawling on the floor, she actually heard me speaking about a red wine pill and decided it was a sign from God, took that pill, threw away all of her medicines, no longer has any angina for the first time in 40 years. I'd call that, what, an anti-aging pill. See, these things are possible for people. You just don't believe it because you're mired in all those medicines and you have no idea of this miracle that really comes from God. God gave it to us. It was in wine all along. We don't need the alcohol part of it. But for so many of us, we're just confused. We don't even think it's possible. And because somebody's selling something, well, there's got to be a huckster involved. Or is there? We find, maybe for the first time, that we don't have to live our lives in misery, that we could live more years in the service of God. Certainly, we wouldn't be a burden on our loved ones if we had something like this. What we are today, regardless and in spite of ourselves, we're going to live into our 80s and maybe our 90s, and we are going to be a burden on our loved ones, and we are going to be senile and lose our memory, and there's nothing we can do about it. They don't have a pill for any of these things, and yet there is such a thing that would do this and back up your aging. We even took a man in his 80s, and we know that as age moves on and progresses, cellular debris builds up in cells. And we gave a man in Chicago who was having vision problems, we gave him an anti-aging pill, and that cellular debris disappeared. It was eradicated over a five-month period of time.
I think it's important to mention that that was in the eye. They could actually see the...
They could see it without taking a biopsy. Right. It was a quick two-second picture of the eye. What they found that is this man's biological age was reversed. His chronological age was still there, but his biological age, as we know it, that cellular debris, was eradicated to the point where his eyes had cells that were 20 years old, no longer 80 years old. 5 measurable parameters of his vision, his sight vision, color vision, contrast, acuity, and so on, were improved. It was his night vision that was bothering him. These things can be done. They've been demonstrated. Why do I talk over the top here tonight to you? Because I'm trying to reach out to you. I am commercially involved in pills like this. What has that got to do with anything? That gives me the knowledge to share with you. If any of you understood this, you would be running somewhere to find one of these pills. What could you lose? You know, it's just something. We're in a predicament today. you know, it's going to cost us, if we're going to live 90 years, it's going to cost us $200,000 in expenses. We don't have that money. 30% of all the health care bills are going to be spent in the last year of life. If you had one of these pills, you'd cut that bill. You'd never be in a nursing home, and you would cut that bill so you could actually afford it, and our country could afford it. We have a little chart in my book here, so we try to show people this is all possible. The very fact that these things have gone on in our lifetime, that the population control artists have worked in the shadows, covertly, in so many ways, to this population control agenda. And here it is again. They've robbed us of one of the greatest gifts of all time, one of the greatest discoveries that people could live long and healthy in the service of God, and they hid it from us. That's all I can tell you. You'll be able to hear, read this whole thing later in the month when we release this ebook. The title, How the World Got Lost on the Road to the Anti-Aging Bill.
All right. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program. Certainly, our guest is Bill Sardi, and we're talking about really turning this back. And I will tell you, my wife took the pills, and her gray hair is starting to turn back to brown. Well, Bill, you go right ahead.
I want to tell you the story of Eric. Eric's a young man, 24 years old, drinking too much one night on one of those three-wheelers, the little motorcycles. At about 2 in the morning, goes headfirst in a wreck that, well, breaks every bone in his skull, his jaw bones, his orbits, his nose, every possible bone in his skull. He has such inflammation, they don't think he's going to live. He's paralyzed. He cannot see. He's black blind. He survives day after day after day. And finally, they get an eye doctor to go where the inflammation in his eye is cleared up, and they can see with an ophthalmoscope to the back of the eye. And the doctor shakes his head and looks at his father and says, those optic nerves are totally pale. Your son will never see again. But he refers him to a retina specialist. It's too harsh a diagnosis. And the retina specialist, weeks later, sees him and says, those optic nerves are totally pale. There's no circulation. It never comes back. But on the way out the door, he handed Eric that anti-aging pill I just told you about. Within days, light perception was restored. He ran back to the eye doctor, and they found out that those optic nerves were pink. Circulation had been established. Within days, he was counting fingers on his father's hand, 2 fingers from 10 feet away. And now his vision is being totally restored. What's the miracle of the story? Stem cells are being regenerated. Those cells that become every cell in our body, they become heart cells or brain cells. Well, they were being generated in the eye by this anti-aging pill and restoring that. We talk about stem cell injections and transplants. This was naturally occurring with this anti-aging pill. This young man, who would have been black blind, is now seeing today because of this pill. These kinds of stories are in the book. You'll want to read all of them. They're miraculous stories of what's really happened. It's been censored by the government censors. We haven't been able to share it with you. We're going to take a little risk and crow hop over the line and trying to spill the beans on this whole story, this wonderful story about, well, longevity and, well, life the way God meant it to be lived. And I certainly hope that everyone takes it to heart, reads it, and gets the full understanding of this book, that we have been robbed, and we were robbed of a wonderful life by the elites of this world.
Hold that thought, and we'll be right back. And so, Bill is just saying that we've been robbed. This information has been known for a long time, and it's just coming out now. Thank you very much for being with us. It's been a fascinating hour, and certainly copies of this tape will be available through our ministry. God bless you, Bill. Thanks very much. And
good night.
As soon as that is available, the ebook, please let me know.
We will.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, fine. Well, that's a fascinating story. But let me tell you that I've been taking this product for some time, but one of the most amazing things was my wife is beginning to turn gray. I mean, she's, as women do, her hair turns gray. And so she started taking the pill. And the hair, the graying hair, actually turned black and brown so that nobody can believe that she is the age that she really is. It's the most amazing thing. And so we've been taking this, I suppose, 6 or 8 years. And as you know, I'm 81 years of age. And I'm certainly, my mind works, and that's the major thing. The other interesting thing is that if you have a stroke or you have a heart attack, why you do not end up getting the permanent damage. They found this in animals. Whether this would be true in humans, we don't know. But certainly the animal studies show that if the you create an artificial stroke in an animal that's taking the resveratrol type of medication, why they do not get the permanent damage. The same thing is true as far as the both the brain and the heart. So it's fascinating information, and certainly we'll let you know as soon as the book is available. Well, this is the time when I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you are in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. If not, we'd ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we're going to tell you things you're not going to hear elsewhere. There is a program to destroy the lives of the black and brown children in third world nations by giving them vaccines laden with mercury. Now, of course, you have to understand they took the mercury out of the childhood vaccines given to American children, but they left it in the childhood vaccines given to children throughout the rest of the world. Why? Because, of course, it attacks fertility. It actually epigenetically turns off the fertility, and it will not simply be in this generation, but in generations in the future. If you want to get into the background of that, we have a wonderful DVD. It's called Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. And it simply asks, why is it the people who are totally in favor of population control are spending hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to vaccinate little brown and little black children? You would think that if you believed in population control, you would not be wanting to vaccinate them and save their lives, or do you have another agenda? You'll want to see this DVD because, of course, it comes with a free CD-ROM that has literally several thousand pages of scientific data that will show you that they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know how they're destroying the lives of your children and the elderly and your own life as well. And Dr. David Aob, incidentally, will be a guest at our October 17th meeting there, all-day meeting in the North Shore of Monterey Bay, the annual Radio Liberty Conference. And he'll be talking on aluminum, and that's in most vaccines. And that's equally toxic to the mercury. They know these things. They just don't want you to know that they're using public health and concern about disease to destroy the lives of our children. Why do you think that 1 in 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality? Oh, certainly 1 in every 66 boys is autistic. 1 in 90 to 100 children are autistic. 1 in every 9 children has asthma. 1 in every 11 to 12 children has severe allergies. 1 in every 450 children has juvenile diabetes. These are all autoimmune diseases. And you don't see them in the children who do not take the vaccination. So you see them very rarely. Ladies and gentlemen, this is criminal activity. But who are you going to report it to? Well, you're going to have to look after your family. You're going to have to find out if what I'm telling you is true. We have another excellent DVD. It's called Vaccines and Brain Development. Vaccines and Brain Development by Dr. Blaylock. And then my talk on the specter haunting America. The Spectre Haunting America. All of them are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, where you can hear our programs 9 hours a day and not get much accomplished, but we need you to get the information and help us to get it out. America is under attack today.